All right.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Pros and Cons.
Hello, everyone.
We're your hosts, Nicole and Rachel, with the English Student Association, coming to you with another episode
of Pros and Cons.
Yeah,
did we say that?
Yeah.
Yay.
This is so exciting. We're recording this on the cusp of exams. It is study day number one. Both of us are feeling it already.
Oh, yeah.
But we're ready to push through. We're very excited to be here and talk about English and talk about how things are going with us, studying for exams and prepping and all the things. But anyways, let's start off with our favorite segment. Nicole, let's share what our favorites are right now.
Okay. I'll go first. My favorite right now is crosswords. I love a good crossword puzzle. I actually bought a book of them on the weekend, and I've been working through them. Yes, I love them a lot. They're really fun. I'm not that good at them, to be honest, because I keep getting stuck. But I keep on texting people and asking them what they think the answer is. So I consider it phoning a friend, not cheating. So
I don't think it's cheating when you ask a friend for help.
Exactly. So I recommend everyone get some crossword puzzles. They're really fun, and I think I'm getting smarter. So, yeah. Rachel, what's your favorite right now?
I watched Lady Bird for the first time this past weekend.
The first time?
For the first time ever.
Wow.
I had never seen it, and I feel fake for saying that, but I just had never gone around to watching it. There's a couple movies out there that I'm like, I know if I watch this, I'll enjoy it, but I just haven't for whatever reason, and I finally watched it for the first time this past weekend, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I cried a little bit.
I think I definitely...
Saoirse Ronan's just beautiful.
Love that movie.
I love her. Anyways, so, I guess that's a favorite right now. Yeah, I mean, speaking of things that we're reading or watching right now, because obviously Nicole is an English and film major.
Yes.
Let's maybe dive into some of the things we're doing right now in class. We just finished classes. Yesterday was the last day of classes. Nicole said on Tuesday she left class a little bit sad because it was her last ever class with Dr. Nemesvari.
I'm so sad about it.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that we're in fourth year.
I know.
It's insane. Oh.
Ew. I hate thinking about it. It's so sad.
I know. It's starting to dawn on me a little bit. Like, coming now into the exam season, and people are talking about, like, oh, this is my last class with this prof because, you know, I don't have one next semester, or this is my second last exam season. It feels really icky.
Oh, my God. I didn't think about this being my second last exam season. Oh, that's so sad.
I'm just giving you an existential crisis right now.
I start crying right now. Oh, wow. Well, what are you reading for class, Rachel? Now I'm sad.
I'm sorry. Well, we just finished, in our 19th century British novel class, we just did Mayor of Casterbridge. And to be wholly and completely honest, this was a novel that I was like, I don't think I'm going to read this. Like, I don't think I'm going to have time because it's so close to the end of the semester. And it was really long. It was Thomas Hardy. Like, the Victorian novelists really loved to yap, and Mayor of Casterbridge was a pretty lengthy book, so I wasn't fully convinced that I was going to read it, but then I started reading it the other day, or like before class, and I was like, wow, this is actually kind of good. It's so juicy, dude. There was so much that happened, and so I started reading it, and I wasn't sure that I was going to finish it, but then it just kept getting juicier and like juicier. So much more stuff happened, and yeah, I ended up reading all of it within like the span of 2 days, which is a lot.
Damn.
Like, it's a lengthy
and for a Victorian
book. For a Victorian novel, too. So yeah, we just did that. We talked about it in class. And I remember logging it on Goodreads, and because our professor, Dr. Nemesvari, loves Thomas Hardy. I'm pretty sure he taught a seminar or a grad level seminar last year all about Thomas Hardy. And yeah, I think my Goodreads review was something along the lines of, like, I finally understand why my professor loves this man so much. Because, like, Mayor of Casterbridge was really good. Like, it makes me want to read more Thomas Hardy now.
He would be so happy to hear you say that.
He would.
He'd be like, yes, like, I did it.
One person reached. but it was really good. Like, I really enjoyed it. And I think sometimes I feel like a book or, like, a novel sometimes has a hard time with having a unlikable main character or like an unreliable narrator and one that like you can't really stand, and I feel like sometimes it's a hard line to balance, if you know what I mean. Like, there are some books that like, okay, I hate you as a character, but you're a great main character still. And there are some books where it's it just ruins it, but this was a good balance. Like, even though I really really didn't like even though I really really hated Henchard, it was still really really enjoyable novel to read. because this guy, he lost like everything, but it's also like, that's your own damn fault. Like, he was asking for it.
And it happened in like a like drama way. It was like, oh!
Yeah, it was so dramatic.
Or daughter, sorry, what the
hell? And it's like, oh, and then he bought your house, your enemy bought your like, house, and all of your furniture and clothing was still in it, and
so
now your
funny.
Rival lives there with your ex-lover who he married.
Like
it's
that's
so
insane.
Juicy. Like, that's literally like a modern like soap drama plot line. Like, that's insane. What do you mean he bought your house and lived in it with your ex?
Like the drama goes crazy.
It's so funny. It was so funny because I'm like, no way this is real. So yeah, shout out Thomas Hardy. That's what we just read. I also just reread Macbeth. Literally read it. I started it this morning and finished it today. Because
It's like 100 pages.
Yeah, it's really not long at all. It's definitely very short and very digestible, but I wanted to reread it before my exam, my Shakespeare exam. So I read that today. And then I got the picture of Dorian Gray for my birthday from...
Oh my god, who would give you that?
Who gifted that to me?
What? That sounds like a great gift. Like,
yeah,
like a really good one.
It like, really, yeah, like someone just loves me so much.
Yeah, I wonder who would like do that. Like, what?
Yeah, Nicole got me the picture of Dorian Gray for my birthday. And it's a really beautiful copy too. Like, it's hardcover and it has these like beautiful golden pages. And yeah, I just love it so much. And I'm very excited to read it once exams are done. So yeah, anyways, that was a long-winded answer of what we're reading or watching right now. Thank you. So yeah, tell us about what's going on with you right now.
So currently all of my reading and watching is for my final papers. Because my final papers are due. I have one tomorrow and I have two on Monday the 10th. It's Thursday the 4th, by the way. Oh, we said that earlier because it's the first study day. Anyway, so today I've been rereading Great Expectations, like just like the bits and pieces because I'm working on my paper, which I'm writing on Great Expectations. So I guess you can count that as my reading right now, but I'm not really like reading anything right now because I'm also going to wait until after exam season. Anyway, the other thing that I'm watching is also for one of my papers, and sorry because I'm about to sound like a film bro, but it's American Psycho. And let me defend myself. Let me defend myself, okay? I had to watch it for a different class for American film since 1969, but I'm writing about it for my film and emotion seminar because for our final paper, we have to, like, write about an emotion, do a film, answer a research question kind of thing. So I'm talking about how, even though in the nature of not liking the main character, Patrick Bateman is the worst and we hate him as a main character, but there's one scene where I'm stressed for him because I think he's going to get caught. So I'm doing it. I'm analyzing that scene and like looking at why I feel, you know, that suspense and why I'm like concerned for his like him not getting caught, even though I hate him and I want him to get caught. So, you know, rewatching that scene is my watching right
not even
now.
The full movie, just that one scene.
Yeah, literally. And I've been like making my roommates watch it too, and I'm like, so what did you think? What did you feel and why? And they're like really confused because they don't understand what I'm asking them at all, because they're like poor science majors. Like, I'm asking like my Canadian roommate, I'm like, what did you feel? And she's like, I don't know, confused.
These damn arts majors making us do.
Yeah, like they don't care, but and they don't understand, but it still works because they still prove my points.
I'm very excited to have the break and read things. Is there a book that you're, like, looking forward to reading when you're done exams?
No, I just kind of go with whatever's, like, there. Like, I just kind of go to my... I can't plan too far in advance because I'll start reading something and I'll be like, but I could read this one. So I usually have, like, three books going simultaneously. Mm-hmm. But I'm probably going to read The Long Walk.
Oh, yeah,
Stephen King. Yeah, because I started in the summer, and then I started reading something else. And so I'm going to try and continue that one, but we'll see what I actually end up doing. I don't know.
Have you seen the movie, or are you trying to read the book before you watch the movie?
No, I've seen the movie. I just really wanted to read the book, because I found the book one day, and I was like, wait, this seems awesome. And so now I need to read the book.
I remember seeing the trailer for it. Because it came out recently, like in the last like 6 months, I want to say.
It was like, I think it was in October. It was, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I recommend it. You would really like it.
Would I?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because it's like about like boys being friends. It's like a little coming of age story and they're like 2 days together. It's really good.
Don't they like all die? Isn't that like the thing?
Yeah. But there's still, it's, you would really like it. You need to watch it.
Oh.
It's like, spoiler alert. I should be offended. Spoiler alert, there's only one winner, but they all become friends because they're just teenage boys.
The true winner was the friendship along the way.
Oh my God. Rachel, you don't even understand. You need to watch it. You would love it. You would be moved. And there's gay undertones.
Are you profiling me?
Yes. I just know you.
Clock that.
I just know her so well, guys. Yeah. Trust me.
I do.
We love a good reading into it. Have you heard us talking about Wordsworth and Coleridge? Like, hello.
Please. I feel like when people give me a recommendation and they're like, I think that you would like this, and it's like actually rooted in like, I know you as a person and I know you would like this, I always am like, okay. Like, yeah, okay. How are you feeling going into exams? How many do you have?
I only have two. Okay. And they're back to back, like the 11th and the 12th.
Mm.
It just hit me today that there's 8 days until I'm done the whole semester, and yeah. I haven't started studying for my exams yet because I'm finishing my papers.
Yeah.
But I'm not really too concerned for the exams because they're months for a class with Nemazari, and I've had exams with him before, and I'm like,
you know what to expect.
I know what to expect. Yeah. I know how to study for it. I know how to prepare. Like, I've done the preparation throughout the course. I didn't miss any classes. You know, I read the books. So I'm fine. Like, I'll be fine. And then the other one, it's pretty similar. It's for American film. And again, like, I went to every class. I did the readings. I watched the movies. And I understand, like, what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I feel like for a lot of arts, or at least English and film exams, they're kind of hard to study for in the sense that you're not memorizing something. You need to just figure out what you're going to be asked and think about how you're going to answer it.
Yeah.
So, like, there's not too much I can prepare. Like, I can memorize what, like, authors, book titles, directors.
I don't know. I feel like it also depends on what the exam is. Mm-hmm. Like, when we were studying for literary theory, that was definitely, like, we are memorizing things. But it's also not even necessarily memorizing, like, we're kind of memorizing a definition, but we're also memorizing how to apply the definition. And I think that the application of something is easier to, like, remember than a specific, like, you need these exact words
to answer. I feel the opposite.
I mean, like, literary theory, it was kind of, like, it was kind of a little bit black and white in that, like, this is what the theory is, but its application was very much, like, the gray area and areas to interpret things differently.
It's, like, as long as you can understand the concept of, like, the sign.
Yeah.
You just need to understand the concept because then the application becomes, like, where you can prove yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, for English, like, for something like this with our, like, 19th century British novels class, it's, like, sure, we have a list of maybe 40 terms or, like, quotes or, like, specific things that we need to know for the exam. And so I can go and, like, make a Quizlet with all their definitions and, like, study the Quizlet. But at the end of the day, like, that's not really that helpful where I should be considering, like, okay, how do each of these terms fit into each of the novels we read, and like, how do they connect to broader course themes, and what else were we talking about when we talked about these in class?
Yeah, I feel like for especially the way Nemazari does it, because he does that like list of topics and themes for every course, I just kind of use that as like a guide to like, these are the big things kind of, and I know what they all are because I go to class and I understand what's happening in the class and I participate and you know I'm actually like engaging with the content, so I'm learning. That's also why I think I find it a lot easier to study, because I'm actively engaging in all of my classes.
Yeah,
whereas I think in like, because I don't think there's any memorization really, or there is some obviously, but like, you know what I mean,
like, yeah, because you've like picked it up along the way, like it's not like you're,
whereas in like say bio, like you're not a, or to my knowledge, you're not like applying, you know, each cell name in each individual class, whereas in each class, I'm talking about how this particular, like, part of the book is critiquing gender roles, you know? Yeah, like, we talk about it consistently, whereas you talk about it once. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it's way easier for me to just, like,
do it. No, fair enough. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. It is nice going. My first exam is on Saturday, so in 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I've never had an exam this early in the exam period. It's on the very first day, which does stress me out a little bit. But this one, I feel the most confident
what
for
exam? What
it's
exam?
For Shakespeare and performance. Yeah, so but this is the one class that, and not to say that I haven't done this in other classes, but like this one by far is the one that I like engaged with the most, whereas like I really really read in depth and like analyzed the texts and then went to class and really participated and engaged. Like I was really consistent with this class, and I was maybe less so consistent in other classes. Like it's kind of, not to say that I didn't do the work in other classes, but I was definitely the most consistent with this one. So I feel I'm happy that this one is the first one, because it gives me like I get to have like one over with and I feel good about it. And so I reread Macbeth today for it. I'm gonna reread The Tempest tomorrow, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about exams. That's good. Okay, we are going to shift gears and jump into doing some Q&A. We asked some friends on the English Student Association Instagram account to give us some questions and that we would answer them on the podcast. So, yeah, shout out to those of you that sent in questions. Mm-hmm. We are going to answer them.
Yes.
So, yeah. Let's start off with the first one.
Okay, so our first question is, what book do you want to see adapted into a movie? What do you think, Rachel?
I have an answer for this because
okay, go.
I think it is under production right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're making a TV show or a movie. I don't know. The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Oh, that would be fun.
I need to see a live action Evelyn Hugo. I need to see her on the big screen. And I see fan casts all the time online. And every time I see them, I'm like, wow, this needs to be made.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is. I think Netflix bought the rights for it or something like that. And they're producing it. But it scares me that Netflix is producing it. Because I feel like it's not going to like live up to my my expectations of it. But anyways, what's your answer?
Okay, my answer is, okay, it has already been made into an adaptation. It's actually been made into two. And they're both horrible. Oh. And that's why I want a new one. And it's Salem's Lot by Stephen King.
I knew you were
going
to say that.
I know, shocker. I was just talking about this the other day about how I'm upset that all the adaptations are so bad. Because they are. I want to see that in a good movie. It sucked.
Are they bad? Like, it's just not, like, up to your your standards of the book? Or is it, like, cheap, like, low budget? Like,
They're not really low budget. It's more so they change. Like, when you're adapting something into a movie, I think you need to be very, like, specific with what you leave out, because mm-hmm. there's things you need to leave out.
Yeah,
because a book just has more content, and they take out the wrong things, and so it completely ruins the themes of the book, and that's what irritates me. The original remake, I mean adaptation, I don't know why I keep saying remake. It's just bad, mm-hmm. like just straight up made bad. The new one is made okay, I think. I haven't seen it. I watched it like 2 years ago. I think it was made okay, but it just they took out things that I would have left in. And I'm irritated that they didn't.
I feel that way. And this is hard because I think The Hunger Games is probably one of my favorite book to movie adaptations like of all time. Because they did a really good job.
Yeah.
But there are still things that I'm like, you should not have taken that out, or you should not have like.
Yeah.
Like they emphasize the whole love triangle story between like Katniss, Peeta, Gale so much more than it needed to be.
Yeah.
Whereas they take out the entire part about like Peeta's leg.
Yeah. But in their defense, I think that's important. In their defense, that would be hard to do in a movie. It's like, I can see it.
Yeah.
But it also takes out a lot of, you know, like, his struggle to come back to life.
Yeah, like Peeta's character feels a lot more flat in the movies. And, like, even same with Katniss. I feel like they
she doesn't seem as, like, when you're reading the novel, it's an unreliable narrator, and she seems more unstable. And I feel like in the movies, she seems like she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, and she just seems like she's like just kind of cool and like she's just like
she's
headstrong.
Not constantly freaking out.
Yeah, and whereas like Mockingjay, I reread Mockingjay like last summer, I think, and it'd been a while since I reread it. She's so like mentally damaged and like fractured and like she's in such a bad headspace. And in that novel, it's actually like it was depressing to reread. Like it actually it was dark. There are so many parts of that entire movie trilogy that they should have had more about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think especially Katniss's mental health in the last one.
I agree.
Like, and they kept her locked up. She was a war criminal. She was a war criminal by the end of it. And, like, that's just kind of glossed over in the movie.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's
something
insane.
They should read. Well, I wouldn't even say redo it because I think they did an amazing job
regardless. Yeah.
It's just people should also read the books.
Mm-hmm. I could never, like, I don't know. It's funny, like, they're remaking Harry Potter, aren't they, into a TV show?
Yeah.
So it's like,
oh my gosh.
No, go ahead.
No, you finish this and then I'll say my thing. You just like,
no,
just
it's just hard
something.
To believe because it feels like these movies and like these adaptations just came out. So it's like, it's hard for me to envision them ever remaking something like The Hunger Games or like Twilight. But then like Harry Potter is not that much older than those like movies and those adaptations. 2000s. But their art, I don't know. It makes me wonder how far in the future do you think we'll start seeing Twilight remakes? You know what I mean?
I think it depends. I wrote my Shirk proposal on this, actually.
Really?
on
Twilight or movie adaptations? Or
book adaptations? On remakes. and like why some things are remade. And my conclusion was that they're remade at like a specific time in the culture to reflect a cultural shift.
Okay.
So I think it's like when something like that happens, but I don't really know how that would land with Harry Potter, honestly.
I think Harry Potter's just kind of stayed culturally relevant.
Me too.
If that makes sense.
And this is why I gasped when you brought up Harry Potter, because this summer I read all of them for the first time. Like I had read the first two or three before when I was a kid, but this summer I read all of them like in their entirety for the first time. And I was like, why'd they take this out? Constantly. I was so upset when I was reading the books. I was like, why did they not make this in the movie? Like, I'm so irritated. What blew my mind the most was that they took out the entire part of Voldemort's, like, actual backstory. Like, his birth and his family. They took that all out. I was like, that is so critical. Like, what are you guys doing? And they took out all of the, like, Hermione stuff with Spew. And I was like, that is so important. That is, like, one of the one good things that J.K. Rowling did with this book series. Like, she's a horrible person, but at least she was kind of being woke for 10 minutes. And you guys just took this out of the movie. Like, I was so upset about it. My Goodreads reviews are like, why'd they take this out of the movies? I'm pissed.
Like, I remember seeing those throughout the summer. Like,
yeah, definitely. Because I was so upset. They did not do the books justice with all the horcruxes and like how they actually, like they knew what they were and they knew what they were looking for was in the movie. They were just like, we just need to go find something and who knows what it's going to be. We'll just know. But they all had like reason in the book. Like the locket had reason in the book and it was tied to Voldemort's backstory. Whereas in the movie, it's just like, just a thing. And they don't even explain who Regulus is in the movie. Oh my God. Like it irritated me so bad. Reading the Harry Potter books was a horrible, it was an amazing decision, it was a horrible decision.
Yeah, fair enough.
It has, like, made me angry.
Fair enough.
But that's my Harry Potter.
That's rant. How I feel with Percy Jackson.
Oh my God, I also read those this summer.
those books actually defined my adolescence. They were, like, the first, like, novel series that I ever read. No, Percy Jackson has such a special place in my heart. And yeah, mm-hmm. Those movies, like, I always say this, the movies are standalone. When you separate them from the books, they are enjoyable movies. They're a fun little
them.
Like tween like adventure movie, whatever. They're fun. It's fun. Poker Face by Lady Gaga when they walk into the Lotus Casino, incredible scene. But when you like have read the books, and anyways, they're terrible book adaptation. Now that they're doing the show is a lot more faithful to the book.
I like the show.
I do enjoy the show. I feel like it's not as like fun as the movies were, but also season two comes out in like 6 days.
But I think also, yeah, only the first season of the show is out, right?
Yeah.
And I think the first book is sort of it's very foundational.
Yeah, it's
like
introductory.
It's very, like, Percy's kind of confused the whole time because he's just getting used to this and he's like, wait.
I mean, he's also kind of confused,
like,
the entire
happening?
Time for everything.
Yeah, but like in the first one especially, he's not like having fun yet. Like he gets to the camp,
yeah.
He has fun for a little bit and then he's like, okay, I'm out of here to go do a quest and also I think Annabeth hates me.
Yeah.
And also, who, like,
I mean,
know, like,
that boy never really kind of gets to have any fun.
No, he doesn't. But he gets more lighthearted.
Yeah, no,
until,
I
like,
agree.
Until, like, Talia comes.
I don't know. He definitely gets more, he gets funnier as the books go
yeah.
on. But again, I feel like so much of Percy Jackson comes, like, his personality comes through his, like, inner monologue in the
yeah.
books. I don't know.
I don't know. I will say one thing that I actually hope they change in the movie.
For
I mean,
Sea of Monsters?
No. For, it's in the, well, I guess in the last book. Or in the last two. I hope that they put Clarice and Selena, I don't remember the blonde.
Yeah.
I hope they date. I was reading the books this summer and I was like, oh my God, they're gonna kiss. And they didn't. And I was really upset about it. They should have.
But
they were so ready to date.
Some of it was like important that she was dating
that guy that was kept in the basement. I don't care about him.
What's his name? Hephaestus's son.
Oh, Selena's boyfriend like dies.
Yeah.
And Clarice
on the
is
boat.
Kept in the basement. And I don't care. I want them to date. They should have. They had chemistry.
Selena was the, like, mole, wasn't she? Yeah, I think so.
I think that's
why she died.
She didn't die.
Yeah, she did.
She did? Oh, in the battle.
Yeah, in the
yeah.
last Olympian.
Yeah, yeah, when they're fighting outside the
yeah,
Empire State
Yeah, and Clarice
State
was,
building.
Like, crying. Like, that's homoerotic.
Hey, Rachel, like, they were dating. Like, you don't get it. I don't care about her boyfriend in the basement. Like, Clarice was gay.
Clarice was gay. I will say that. Clarice is such a gay character.
And
Selena, I don't know. I feel like I need to reread them, but I feel like it was important that her boy, like, she was dating.
Like, maybe, like, and then she could have, like, broken up with him and dated Clarice. Okay, like, okay. Yeah, I don't have it figured out. I just know I was reading the book.
No, but she was the mole, and Clarice is so, like, anti-Luke's goal and aim. So but why would she also, do
like,
that?
A little bit, like, for Luke. Is she not? She had, like, a crush on him or something. I don't really
probably
remember.
I think every girl at Camp Half-Blood had a crush on Luke.
Yeah, but she was, like, a little bit for him. I know. Wait, can I give a hot take? I think my favorite one was the Labyrinth. The Battle
of the
Labyrinth.
That one is so good. That one is really good.
I've heard that it's everyone's least favorite.
Really? I think the Titan's Curse.
I don't even remember what happened in it.
That one, Nico and Bianca are introduced. So, like, that bit is good.
Oh, and it's
but
when,
it's, like during
Nico...
the winter. It's in the wintertime, and, like...
I didn't really care about Nico and Bianca, I've got to be honest.
Can you... What the hell?
They were just, like, there, and then they were gone. Nico's Bianca so... left
yeah,
within
Bianca...
5 minutes.
Yeah, because that's, she went and...
She joined Artemis.
Yeah.
Nico just went off. Like,
poor
he was
Nico
just
for
gone.
Real, though.
No, I felt bad for him. And I was like, oh my God, like, my son. But, like, also, like, okay.
He
like,
was important.
You
he
didn't
was...
develop enough for me to care.
He was important in the Battle of Labyrinth.
Yeah, he was. Because he comes and he saves them or something, doesn't he? I don't even remember what he does.
Yeah, because he was in the Labyrinth and he, like, helped them get out or something like that.
Something like that. I don't know. But I remember I really enjoyed it because I thought it was fun.
Yeah,
and
that
I was like,
one was
oh,
fun.
Oh, guys.
I think we need to reread these
books. I don't remember. And this is embarrassing because I read them like 6 months ago. I just don't remember them.
I've reread them a lot.
I have to reread them.
You should.
Maybe that'll be my like Christmas break read.
Yeah, I think it's going to be mine.
They were really fun. I was like, it took me a while. I read the first one the year before. And then I didn't read the rest. And then this summer, I was like, hey, I need to finish them. And it took me a second to get through Sea of Monsters. And then I read the last three, each of them, in one day.
Yeah, I think I did the same thing
like,
last time
I was locked
them.
In. You could not talk to me. Like, I was sitting on my couch at home, and my sister would be talking to me, and I'd be like,
nope,
like, I'm busy.
God,
like, don't talk to me.
The last book is so good.
It was like, intense. I was locked in.
I can't. I really hope that they get that far with producing the show.
I really hope they
finish
it.
I need to see the scene. Do you know the scene that I'm talking about in The Last Olympian where Annabeth is trying to fight off like some of the Titans, I think, and like Percy's like, get your hands off of her. And like, it's just
so
insane.
Kicking my feet.
The thing that I think about the most with that is someone online once said, imagine that scene to Francesca by Hozier.
Oh, the fan edits would go crazy.
Like, are you insane? Are you kidding me right now? Like, yes.
Yeah.
I need that.
Oh my God.
I
need to reread
these. Okay, Loki, this is getting really long and we still have a bunch more Q&A questions to go through. Maybe we'll do one more and then we can save the rest for the next time we record.
That sounds good.
Maybe we'll do a cutie little exam special once we're done exams, but we'll still record during exam season.
Okay.
Okay. Next question. What classic book would you recommend starting with if you're new to classic literature?
I thinking about this one, I would recommend honestly anything by Jane Austen. I think she's easy to understand. Like, you're not getting too niche, you're not getting like too far back. It's like 1812 ish I think is Pride and Prejudice was published, and she's fun. Like, she is so fun, and they're relatively lighthearted, and it's not like you're reading like some like heart-wrenching million page book. You're reading a cute little 150 little romance with a little bit of drama. Like, that's fun. Like, Emma is just about gossip, and that's pretty relatable to us in 2025.
Yeah. Or the Brontes. I think something by the Brontes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm. I still assert, like, Northanger Abbey is one of my favorite books I've ever read.
Like, that's such a good one.
Like, I think Northanger Abbey is a great introduction. I think that was one of the first classics that I was really, like, introduced to, I think, in class. I read Jane Eyre in high school, and, like, yeah, I don't know. I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. I think, though, that it's definitely less daunting than people think it is to read a classic. Because, and I'm going to be totally and completely honest here, like, when I first started reading the classics, I had to have, like, Spark Notes open with me. And, like, follow along. Yeah, like, definitions of words and, like, these, like, translated versions and chapter summaries because I just had no idea what was going on. Same with Shakespeare. Like, I had to have, like, the No Fear Shakespeare translation open with me. Otherwise, there was not a chance I was comprehending what was going on. And now I can do Shakespeare. Like, I can read Shakespeare with nothing else in front of me except for the book, which is great.
You know, it's, like, it's kind of crazy to read Shakespeare now because in high school I was, like, using No Fear Shakespeare. And now I'm, like, this is modern English, though. Like, I get this. Like, I know exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, like, I can read it fluently almost, even though it feels, like, kind of a different language. But
it's not. Also not. And I know exactly what he's saying. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy.
So it definitely, like, it's kind of like a muscle you have to kind of work
out.
Yeah,
you just have to, like, train yourself.
Yeah, but, like, once you get it, it's really not that bad. And there's no shame in having, like, Spark Notes open or, like, Googling what this means or, like, keeping notes on who the characters are because sometimes the Victorians really loved a lot of weird names with characters.
They were just talking. And half of them have the same name.
They were just saying stuff. Yeah, there's so many of repeats across different novels.
And they have, like, weird ones. Like, it's strange.
Yeah. Pip.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell kind of name is like, Jaggers.
Like, what are we saying Magwitch. Right now? Like, those, oh, my God. Those are all so Bertha Mason.
Bertha Mason. Let's, like, Bertha Mason it up.
Come on. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they had some odd names. So, yeah. Anyways, all that's to say, no shame in having Spark Notes open or anything like that. I think just start. Like, if there's something you just think that you'll enjoy, just go for it. And if you get 10 chapters into it and you're like, wow, this sucks, you don't have to keep reading it. Nobody's going to force you to.
Yeah. I also think you can start with, like, modern classics.
Yeah.
Like, start with Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
I think,
or, like, 1984 or something.
Yeah. Orwell's actually a little bit hard. Like, imagine if you start with Clockwork Orange. Like, that's horrible. Don't start with the Clockwork Orange. But start with, like, To Kill a Mockingbird. Like, modern classics are classics, too. And they make it easier to, like,
venture into it.
Yeah, start to understand. Because they get slowly more complex as you go back in history. Just because language goes back. And, like, the modern classics, like, if you're reading something from 1950, it's going to be a lot easier to read than reading something from 1750.
Yeah. And, sorry, I cut you off.
I was just going to recommend, read The Great Gatsby. I read it this summer in one day. Again.
Okay. Maybe I'll go home.
120 pages.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
It's so easy. It's just, it's from the 20s or the 30s, I think. So it's like, it takes a second.
Yeah.
But it's easy to understand. But
comparatively speaking, I just read Macbeth and I think the English will be a lot easier.
It will.
But no, I was going to say with also going, like, the further you go back, kind of the more difficult it gets to a degree. We were talking about this in my Shakespeare class, also with different, like, words and definitions. Like, words mean different things in different time periods. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about, when we were reading The Tempest, we were talking about race, and someone said something about, like, this guy's race. And so, obviously, in our modern context, we think about, like ethnicity or skin color, things like that. But in the context of when Shakespeare was writing it, and with The Tempest, race was something like your social class and, like, your social, like, on a hierarchy, where are you? And more of, like, your background, like, what country you're from. So, like, it kind of ties into some ideas of what we have modern day, but it's like you would read that and immediately assume our modern understanding of what race is.
Yeah.
Whereas in reality, it's changed so much in the last couple hundred years. So
I think it's those kind of things is what makes it really important to find a version that has a good editor. Because if you find a good editor, they'll do footnotes where they'll explain to you something like a specific reference or what a specific word is or how it was being used or what the author's trying to say, the specific part that you just wouldn't know if you didn't have their explanation.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you so much for listening. If you made it this far,
we love you.
Like and subscribe for more. Just kidding,
don't forget to leave a comment letting us know what you want to hear next time.
Yeah, we will do the rest of the Q&A questions next episode. We'll try and do a cutie little exam special.
Yeah. We just talk a lot, so we can't do it today.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have papers to finish.
Yeah,
but come to ESA study events. We have the lit theory one tomorrow. We have just like a regular study session next week.
On Sunday and on next Thursday, the 11th.
Cute. So yeah, definitely come. We'll have donuts. Hang out and eat donuts and study with us. And we'll
talk and be about friends.
Anyways, good luck on exams, everyone.
We love you.
Yeah, we love you so much. Good luck and stay well. Take care of yourselves. Say
stay hydrated. Well, stay warm. Stay hydrated. Don't forget to eat. Don't forget to wear your special exam underwear to your exams.
Exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, goodbye, everyone.
Bye, I love you.